Welcome to The Awakened Homeowner. Thinking about a new home or remodel, but feeling lost in a maze of decisions? You're in the right place. I'm William Reed, and for over three decades, I've coordinated the design and construction of hundreds of remodel and new home projects. I know the process can feel overwhelming, but trust me, you can do this. Here, we break it all down step by step so you can feel confident, empowered, and even excited about your project. No stress, no guesswork, just the guidance you need to bring your dream home to life. Let's dive in. All right, here's a question that stops most homeowners dead in their tracks. How do architects actually charge for their work? And more importantly, are there different types of agreements that will protect you from the budget nightmares, not to mention many other aspects of poor design? So today we're cracking open the mysterious world of design agreements, and you'll discover three ways architects structure their fees, which one matches your project type and experience level, and critical questions that separate fair deals from financial disasters. I'm your home building coach, Bill Reed, and whether you're hiring your first architect or your fifth, this episode could save you thousands. So let's dive in. All right, let's address the elephant in the room. You've probably heard horror stories about design fees spiraling out of control, or maybe you've even seen social media posts where someone brags about getting their plans for dirt cheap. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Both of the scenarios are usually the result of choosing the wrong type of design agreement. And here's the kicker. Most homeowners don't even know there are different types. So by the end of this segment, you're going to understand why the agreements you sign with your architect might be the most important financial decision you make in your entire project. The design process of residential custom home construction and remodeling is extremely important, and there are just so many aspects of it that I've already spoken about. Design professionals and understanding them. I've talked with you about the design process, and we're going to have a little review of that today. And then we're going to get into how do you go about engaging with an architect, a residential designer, or even an interior designer, frankly. A lot of them run their businesses in very similar ways I'm about to explain to you. One thing that's very discouraging and scary to me is as I go out on social media and Facebook groups and talk to clientele and potential customers, there are just so many people boasting about how little they spent on design, or what is the cheapest way to get my plans drawn, or my house design done, or my kitchen design done. And if you're going to go with the cheapest design solution, you're going to get the worst project, guaranteed. You may save thousands of dollars. You think you're saving thousands of dollars on the design aspect of your project, but you are already making compromises and you don't even know it when it comes to the quality of the project that you're about to build that maybe you've been dreaming about for your whole lifetime. And even down to accuracy of plans, the actual budget, you know, trying to achieve this budget that you've come up with in our process or that you've dreamt up, the design function is directly related to achieving satisfaction with your project, both from a design perspective and a cost perspective. So you may have saved thousands of dollars, you think, when you created your plans, but if the plans are incomplete, if the specifications are incomplete, then you've added on additional costs later that often will exceed the difference in just paying for quality design. And that's what we're going to talk about today. When you hire an architect, there are, generally speaking, three different types of design agreements that you could engage with your architect. And they are all relevant. They all work. And it just depends on the circumstances that you have, which primarily revolve around the type of project, meaning is it a really, really simple project? Is it a really complex project? It also relates to your experience level and how much time you've spent in researching your dreams and wishes and how efficient you're going to be able to make the design process with your contributions. So there's a lot of variables here that can apply to a project that directly correlate with the type of design agreement that you enter into with your architect. So the first one is an hourly base rate, which is basically you are paying your architect for every hour they spend on their project. And that could be them, that could be their junior designers, that could be their consultants, that could be all different types of people that are in an architectural organization. And you will just get billed for the time that you spend with them. And we're going to talk about how that can work and what are the pros and cons. The next one is fixed fee. So you may recall that we went through the design process and there were very strict design steps that we took. I will refresh on that, but usually a fixed fee is tied directly to those stages of design. And then there's what's called percentage. And percentage is an interesting one. A lot of architects will charge a fee to do your plans, to do your design, to do all your plans and specifications, to manage the permit processing, to coordinate with all of your consultants. And they will charge a percentage of what the estimated construction amount is, which is something that some people get a little freaked out about, but it can actually also work too. So it's going back to what I was speaking about earlier, which is depending on your circumstances, your project, your experience is going to tie directly to the recommended agreement solution that you would have with your architect. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is getting into each one of these agreements, understanding the pros and cons, the details of them, so that you as a homeowner can go into this knowing what is available to you and have your design team explain to you what methods they use, and then you can decide. So now that you know there are three types of agreements, let's talk about what's actually in an agreement, regardless of which method you choose. So think of this as the skeleton that all design agreements follow. And once you understand this framework, you'll be able to look at any architect's proposal and immediately know what you're getting and what's missing. So let's refresh. There are three core design steps in typical residential custom home and remodel projects. And we've covered them in the previous episodes. Step one is schematic design. This was the first step, the creative phase, exploring different concepts, and usually triggers your first payment to a designer. And step two is design development. That's where we start locking in the details, specifying all the materials, and a payment is triggered during that step two. And then step three is construction documents, and that's creating all of the plans, getting them ready to submit for permits, orchestrating all the consultants, and there's a payment tied to that stage too, depending on the method that you use. So those are the three core design steps that I just covered in the previous episodes that I would welcome you. I think that was actually five or six episodes where I went through the schematic design, design development, and construction documents. Those are the three steps, and you can go learn more about those. But an architect's fees are usually tied one way or another to these key steps. So in each step has a distinct purpose and deliverable, and that's why milestone payments are kind of tied to those. Now, there's a few other things that I did not get into with the design step process that we mentioned earlier that architects often provide or can provide, I should say. And the reason I'm mentioning this now is because depending on the agreement method that you have, some of these may be included and some of them may not. And you may or may not be the type of client that would like to use these services. Remember, the key design process steps are schematic design, design development, construction drawings. Prior to those steps, there's the discovery process. This is before even any schematic design work is done. And sometimes architects will have fees related to that. And that is where they are just spending time with you, learning about the property, learning about some of your goals and dreams. And if you have a larger parcel and it's on a hillside, there might be some preliminary work to decide where even the site could be built on. And that is kind of an early stage, what we call mapping process, where they'll take their shapes and start moving around the site before even any design work is done. It's primarily related to custom home construction on unique large lots. Another service that architects will provide are building permit submittal process. So after step three, the construction documents are done, everything's packaged up and ready to go to the building permit. It's important for you to know that if that is included or not in the agreement that you have with the architect. And the other one that's going to come into play is called construction administration. Now, construction administration means that after the project construction is started, everybody's broken ground, working on the site, you can hire your architect as the person to represent you and oversee the construction. They're not going to physically be there all day long, but they're going to go there at certain milestones, weekly, twice a week, three times a month, whatever, and they will be interfacing with your general contractor and your home builder to make sure that the project is being built to the plans that they design. So you're always going to want to specifically ask about these ancillary services that an architect can provide when you start engaging with them about the design agreements that you're going to be discussing with them. And let's also remember that during step two, the design development stage, and step three, the construction document stage, your architect is engaging with other design professionals that may need to be used on your project, such as a civil engineer and a structural engineer, a soils engineer. And these are all part of the design team. And it's usually an architect's responsibility to coordinate all those. You're going to want to make sure that those costs are included in the agreement that you have with your architect. And it's not uncommon for an architect to charge a fee on top of their costs to manage that process, to run it through their system, to take liability, frankly, for the consultants that are brought into the project. One thing I do want to caution you on is getting in the middle of that agreement. In other words, if it's time to hire a structural engineer, you may get suggested by your architect that, well, why don't you just go ahead and contract directly with the structural engineer? That way I don't have to coordinate it and run it through my books. Well, I wouldn't recommend that. And that's because the structural engineering aspect of a project is just as important as the architectural aspect of the project. And the architect should take full responsibility for coordinating and interfacing with. And most architects will agree with that. But sometimes homeowners get in the way and say, well, I have my own structural engineer. I'd like to save some money and pay them directly. Well, you may think you're saving money, but you've now have an architect that their mindset has changed. Now they're like, well, it's your engineer, so you call them and you have them come to our meeting. This is the last thing I think you really want to do as a homeowner, unless you think you need to save a couple $1,000. I just really wouldn't recommend it. So the design agreement framework includes three core steps: schematic design, design development, and construction documents, plus optional services like permit processing and construction administration, plus consultant costs that might be marked up if your architect coordinates them. This framework applies regardless of which type of agreement that you're going to have with your architect. And that's why I'm emphasizing it now, is you're going to get to all of that, whatever agreement you pick, but you need to understand that these are all the components that are required within a agreement with your architect. All right. You now know the skeleton of every design agreement. Next, we're going to put flesh on the bones by exploring the first agreement, hourly billing. This is where things get really, really practical. Now, I know what you're thinking. That sounds terrifying. How do I know when they'll stop billing me? And you're right to be concerned. An hourly agreement can be scary if you don't know how to structure it properly. But here's the thing. For certain types of homeowners and certain types of projects, hourly can actually be the fairest and most transparent option. Let me show you how it works and how to protect yourself. So let's just hit the basics. So an architect, you will track their time spent on a project. They will bill you based on a published rate schedule that's usually within their proposals. And you may have different rates for different people within the organization, such as a junior designer or the licensed principal architect. It's kind of like hiring a lawyer, frankly. Their rates will be published, $200 an hour, $150 an hour within the documentation. And then they track their time by project phase. So like we mentioned earlier, this three stepping stones of design, they will usually track their time by schematic design, design development, construction documents. It's everything from the meetings that they have with you face-to-face, online, email exchanges, and then also all of the work that goes behind the scenes. And this is where sometimes people get a little confused. Large percentage of the design work is occurring behind the scenes when you're sleeping or when you're not there. And it can become confusing for a homeowner, because they'll get a bill saying, oh, we spent 30 on this, you know, Joe spent 16, Harry spent 4, Mary spent 7, whatever. And it's hard for you to understand that because you weren't present during that process. And you need to be aware that most of the work is occurring behind the scenes, not when they meet with you. For every hour they meet with you, they probably have 5 hours worth of work. And that's just a guesstimate, but that's probably not too far off. So the hourly system is one solution for an agreement. So let's talk about the ideal hourly client. So experienced homeowners that have built or remodeled before. This is a pretty good candidate for somebody to hire an architecture firm by the hour. And that's because it's the theory there anyway, is that what comes with experience is the knowledge. What comes with experience is decisiveness, which leads to a more efficient design process. An area that could get you into trouble is if you have no clear vision of what you want, and you're expecting somebody to dazzle you and make revisions after revisions after revisions. This is where hourly might not be the best solution for you. And that's something that needs to be talked out with the architect. If you have a clear vision and a focused direction, this is where an hourly agreement could work. Now, this goes back to my early discovery episodes and in section one of my book, The Discovery Series. The more clear vision you have, and what I mean by that is the style, the inspiration images, the scope that you want. I want to add this many bedrooms. I want to have a basement or not, or any of the aspects of a project, both from a budgetary financial standpoint and also from a design standpoint. And that's why I've emphasized so much in these podcast episodes before this one, is that as a homeowner, it's best to take the time to go through a discovery process. And a lot of people don't know that and don't know what that means. And that's why I got into it with the book and why I got into it with the very early podcast episodes here and talked about the discovery series and how you can position yourself to be able to deploy the one of the most effective and efficient design processes. And that kind of applies to any of these type of design agreements that we're talking about today, but hourly in particular, because if you have a clear focus and direction and the architect understands your clear focus and direction and can respond with that, and they're tight, and the type of design professional that can understand that and respond to that, then you're going to get the best results. Another aspect of an hourly design agreement method is, how much time do you have as a homeowner to invest in the design process? In other words, are you looking for somebody to just run with it and call you when they're done? Or are you looking to participate in a weekly, you know, just immerse yourself in the design process by attending weekly meetings, by going out and selecting material by doing your own research and engaging with your design team. If you're that type of person, then you're going to benefit probably from the hourly design agreement because you're going to be able to guide the design team as much as possible to make sure they don't go off on some like tangent for a particular material or a particular design solution. If there's a lot of interfacing and a lot of exchanges, you're going to be able to keep them on track and yourself on track, frankly. So if you are the type of homeowner that can invest a lot of time in the process, you will ultimately have the best outcome. And I've talked about that before in previous episodes, where a homeowner that is the most involved, the most engaged, usually has the best outcome. Another way to look at the hourly design agreement is that if the cost of design and the cost of the project is not necessarily at the forefront of your mind. So in other words, it's kind of like the opposite of what I've just been talking about. But if you are flexible and financially able to let a design team explore all different types of options and ideas, and you're going to get some good results because the designer is going to feel like they have the freedom to a certain respect about exploring a lot of different options and ideas for you. You know, an example of that is maybe you wanted to consider a two-story, you know, addition or an addition on the back of the home, or maybe you wanted to consider the home on this part of the lot or the other part of the lot. You can see there's some big dramatic differences there. If you are really understanding that there is value to design and you're willing to pay for it, then an hourly agreement can work really well to motivate a designer. And that is because they will feel like they're automatically restricted and have to really crank out something as fast as possible. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about who you are as a client, as a homeowner, when you come to hiring a design professional. So that is kind of the core aspects of an ideal hourly client. But now let's take a look at some pros and cons approach to an hourly agreement with your architect. Here's the good aspect. It's really the most transparent. You can see exactly what you're paying for. You can understand clearly the progress because they'll likely be billing you in weekly or biweekly or monthly intervals. So you can kind of get a sense. And when you start working with a design pro in an hourly agreement, early on, you're already going to start to figure out, is this really working? Is this the right approach? Because you'll be seeing what they're charging you and what the output is. An hourly agreement with an architect also kind of gives you the most flexibility for scope changes. If you select one of the other options that we're going to talk about, which is fixed fee or percentage of construction, sometimes that can restrict mentally, it can restrict a designer knowing that they're on a fixed fee. And if you start making a bunch of changes, that they're going to start to get concerned that it's going to start eating away into their wages and into their profits for a project. So hourly allows the most flexibility. So again, if you're the type of client that's not overly concerned with the cost of design or even the cost of the project, frankly. I know that's usually a high priority for most, but if you're the type of client that, you know, I'm not too worried about the design costs, you can go in hourly, just let them free flow and run them all over the lot and see what they come up with. On the other side of that, it goes back to kind of the experience level and the type of designer you hire, an hourly type agreement kind of rewards efficiency. So if you've given clear guidance, clear inspiration, clear direction, and that designer has listened and provided a response in their design work that really is hitting the mark, then now you've created one of the most efficient design experiences. But it takes two to tango on that, and you have to be prepared, and that architect and designer has to be willing and able to respond with your inspiration. So it can be a very efficient design process, therefore less hours. And it's probably one of the more fairest agreements. between parties, because you can sometimes get into a situation where a design agreement can be counterproductive to a relationship when you're working with a design team, because if things start to get out of control and out of hand, and you're not in an hourly agreement, this can really cause possible tension in the relationship. Now, here's the challenge with hourly agreement. Kind of feels like your checkbook's always open, like an open checkbook, like it's just never ending, right? That can be really scary. That can be controlled with some of the things I've already mentioned, but you do need to be prepared that it may feel like there's no end to this, but we're going to talk about how to remedy that. If you are indecisive and you haven't provided good focus, the risk of scope creep is prevalent, right? So if you really can't pin down what you want and you've got the designer going all over the place, this is where you can really start to balloon your design fees because you have not provided a good enough focus. On the other hand, the downside of hourlies, it could incentivize slower work by your design team. Though professionals won't do that, but it does kind of open up that door a little bit for human nature. If you're hourly, like in construction is the same thing. You know, if you're hiring somebody by the hour, there really is no incentive to get it done. You'll get it done. You'll get it in a reasonable amount of time, but it probably could have get done better and faster. Well, I shouldn't say better, but it probably could have got done sooner if you were on a different type of agreement. So we got to be careful with hourly agreements with architects. And the other thing about, you know, hourly is it requires you participating as the homeowner a lot and, you know, actively managing the process. So I've seen hourly agreements go sideways when a homeowner can't make decisions. Every revision, every let me think about it, every change of direction adds hours. And it's not necessarily the architect's fault. It's kind of the nature of hourly billing. Okay. So let's talk about how do you protect yourself from runaway costs in hourly billing. And these are some suggestions that you can bring up to your architect if they are running on an hourly design agreement method. You can request estimated hour allocations per phase. So you can ask your architect, can you provide an estimate on how many hours you think it would be to accomplish each phase of my design project? And maybe include not to exceed caps for each phase. And you'll have to talk about that so that, you know, if he says it's 100 hours for the schematic design and 300 hours for the design development, perhaps you negotiate a cap not to exceed 120 hours and 330 hours or something. Maybe it's a 10% or 20% not to exceed clause. So there is some kind of cap in there. And also requiring regular status updates as you start working with your architect during the design steps. How are we doing? Are we on track? How am I doing? Am I doing a good job? Am I making decisions for you? Asking those questions to make sure that you don't get that surprise in the mail later where it's you feel like you haven't made any progress and yet you have a 100-hour bill in your email inbox. So you initiating that is always a good call. Some professional architects and design teams will do that for you. They will say, okay, well, let's meet tomorrow. Let's get updated on where we're at today and how far we are into schematic design and how much longer we think it's going to be. The good ones do that for initiating that type of communication. And then, you know, we're just requesting detailed monthly statements, you know, is good. Most of them will always provide that, but you should ask that question when you're starting to go into an agreement. And then build in checkpoint approvals before each phase of the design. So when somebody says we're done with schematic design, let's pause. Make sure that you're satisfied with the design work at that stage of the game. So hourly agreements charge based on the time spent. They work best for experienced homeowners with clear vision. They offer transparency but require oversight and can be protected with not to exceed caps and regular status updates. For some clients, this is the most fair and flexible option, but it really isn't for everyone. And generally speaking, I don't necessarily recommend it unless I feel like a homeowner really is dialed in on a project. And the other side of the coin is if the architect or design pro is really good and runs a well-managed business. If hourly fees feels too uncertain for you, you're going to love the next method. Fixed fee agreement put a price tag on each design phase, giving you budget certainty. So let's move into the next one called fixed fee agreements. All right, let's talk about fixed fee agreements. And this is probably what most homeowners think they want when they start looking for an architect. You want to know the price up front, right? You want budget certainty. I totally get it. Having a fixed price for a project can, you know, on the surface feel really, really beneficial. And for the most part, it is beneficial in the beginning. But we have to be really careful of the devil's in the details when it comes to a fixed price for both sides. Because sometimes an architect can quote a fixed fee and regret it because of the type of client that you are. Not that you're a bad person. It's just that you don't know what the hell you want. And they're running around in circles and they didn't know that. And it can also be really good for you as a homeowner knowing that you have a fixed fee for the costs associated with all of your design. And the problem with that is if you start to make a ton of changes and a lot of revisions, and moving things all over the place, and the scope of work is not defined. There we go again with the lack of definition in design. You could end up eroding the relationship and dragging out the process. Because what happens is, kind of like this human nature aspect, is if a designer feels like you're lack of focus, you're not easy to work with, they will start to prioritize other work over your job that is more efficient for them or a more pleasant client to deal with, frankly. It could end up dragging your design time out a lot if all of a sudden your project gets deprioritized by your design pro. And sometimes it's not immediately apparent that's happening. That's one of the byproducts of a fixed fee contract that goes a little wonky when it comes to meeting in the middle with efficient design work and effective input from the client. So revisiting that discovery stage again and going through all of that is what this podcast really is all about, and preparing you as best as we can for the planning. And like I've mentioned a few times in the podcast, my application BuildQuest that I'm developing right now is going to help you do all of this. Everything I'm talking about in this podcast is going to help you literally sit back and ask you questions, and you'll be able to prepare your discovery package for your architect so that you'll be able to click a button and say, here's a link to my project. What do you think? That's what's happening behind the scenes with this whole Awaken Homeowner mission is BuildQuest. That's going to take everything that's in that book back there and get it out of your head and into paper. But anyway, let's stick with the agenda here, which is the fixed fee agreement. And let me explain how, you know, this method works and how to make sure you don't end up paying for a fixed fee that actually isn't fixed. So let's talk about the structure. So an architect quotes specific dollar amounts for each phase. So you've met with the architect, they've seen your property, they've seen your existing home you want to remodel, or they've seen the land that you have purchased or planning to purchase. Hopefully you've shared with them your visions and ideas and inspirations, and also how much you want to invest in the project, all part of that discovery series. And the architect, an experienced architect, should be able to determine a fixed fee dollar amount for each of those design phases, schematic design, design development, construction documents. They will often write a proposal based on that. So they may say, we will, you know, do the schematic design for X amount, say it's $10,000 for schematic design. And then design development, which is usually the largest amount on a design project, they might say that will cost you $30,000. And then the construction documents will, you know, cost you $10,000 or $5,000, whatever. That's usually the smaller amount. The two smaller amounts are on the ends, and the design development is in the middle, which is a large part of the design process. That might change depending on the type of architects and how they organize their business, but in general, that's how it works. So, you know, in theory, that price doesn't change. And those payments are made at specific milestones. So a lot of times they'll say, well, let's begin the schematic design and you pay for that service. They complete that work, or sometimes it's split 50-50, the beginning and the end. And then it's time to start design development. You pay a 50% deposit there and you 50 some the rest on the completion of design development. That is generally how it works, and it's actually a pretty good way to go. But there's some caveats here that we have to be really careful about, that the designer or the homeowner don't get into a situation where all of a sudden the relationship's starting to erode. Because either the architect or designers are not responding well or in time, or you as the homeowner are not providing them adequate information, not participating enough to make an efficient design process. So you can see where I'm going here. Both parties can contribute to the success or the failure. And if you as a homeowner don't know how you can help contribute to that, it is your fault, but it's not your fault. And if the architect or the designers are not driving you and directing you, you could get into the situation where you're just not meeting in the middle. And then all of a sudden, the design experience starts to crumble. You're getting mediocre design work. It's taking a lot longer to do. So we got to be really careful here with fixed fee. Let's talk about, like, what is the ideal client for fixed fee? So this could be when we combine these elements I'm about to go through with you. This could be the best situation where maybe you as a homeowner don't have any experience. You have just minimal building experience. You've never done this before, and you really are nervous about going into it. And in order for that to work, you need to put all of your faith in your design team, which means you have to find a design team that you feel comfortable with in order to do that. And is a good path for fixed fee. If you as a homeowner, you do know what you know, and you know what you like, and you know what you want, and you have a particular style that you like, and you've spent your time on that front end discovery part of the process, and you feel like you can just hand that off to a design team, and you let them do their work. You don't get in the middle too much and start having them just explore a million options, because you are focused as a customer as far as what you want, the look and feel that you like, the rooms that you want, et cetera. This is a good combination because a design team can then just hit the ground running and just plow ahead and bring you back into the fold when it's time to meet and show what they're up to. So that discovery series, that discovery early stage from you as the client with minimal building experience combined with a quality designer that you've hired or you found, hopefully through a referral from clients, is a really good formula for a fixed fee contract. And then as you work your way through the process, your willingness to invest in the design, your willingness to pay the architect for that fixed fee, that you've provided that clear scope, like I mentioned, and you're just really interested in a quality experience because you've never done this before. Even if you have done this before, it's likely you did it wrong before or not as good. And this is a way that you can just say, you know what? Okay, now I know that investing in quality design, the time and money in quality design is valuable enough for me to do it. You can focus on what you want and then hire a architect for a fixed fee. And sometimes architect may originally propose an hourly fee and you could say, well, could we do it on a fixed fee? And that could spark up more conversations when it comes to where you guys could end up in the agreements. Now, remember, I said that the fixed fee works in theory. Let's talk about what can go wrong if boundaries aren't set properly in a fixed fee agreement. One of the things that you should see from a professional design firm is limited design concepts in a fixed fee. So they may propose to you, okay, in the schematic design phase, we are going to propose three options for you, upstairs, downstairs, home over here, home over there, whatever. And they'll limit the amount of concepts that they'll do if they're smart, because otherwise they could get drug around for a year by you is exploring a million options. So be prepared that if you want more options than that, as you work into the design process with your architect, that they will probably charge you for that. So again, we go back to the focus. Do you like a craftsman style home? Do you like a mountain modern home? What is your style? What rooms do you want? Bringing in that focus is your job to control this whole process. And then they will probably have a limited amount of revisions to those concepts. So usually what happens is they'll present a concept to you or concepts, and you will start homing in on one of them. And as you may recall back in the design process, there's steps through that that you're going to want to take to make sure that you understand the impact of some of these, both financially and to the property, to the existing structures, so that it gets a little bit more complicated than just simply picking a concept. But once you pick a concept, then they'll usually have a limited amount of revisions, meaning, you know, well, I like this concept. Okay, now can we look at maybe going ahead with a 4-bedroom instead of a 3-bedroom? Or let's go ahead and include the accessory, you know, granny unit in the back. Or you're going to have revisions because you're still at the early stages of design, but you just can't have this open door where you can just, you know, just keep running them around the circles with revision after revision after revision after revision. So they'll usually designate a certain amount of revisions. And that's good for you too, because otherwise you could just go on and on and on. And again, the more focused you are, the less revisions you'll need. Asking a designer which plan pages are included in the project. So we haven't gotten into the details of what actual plan pages are, but asking the question is, what is included in your fixed fee contract? What should I expect in the plan pages, from the title page to the site plan to the demo plan, the floor plans, the interior elevations, the exterior elevations, the architectural details? All those aspects of typical standard architectural plans should be included. But asking the question is just a good way to open up a conversation about that. And also another one is interior design included? And that can be kitchen and bath design, picking out materials, picking out appliances, equipment, specifying all of this information, lighting fixtures, plumbing fixtures, interior doors, moldings, casings. You know, there's just a long list of all the materials that need to be specified. Interior designer does get involved in a lot of that. Not all of that. The architects do some of that. But is that included? And then kind of tied to that is this, is there a specification system or document that's included in your fixed fee agreement for the plan so I can have that to hand to my contractor or my builder? So asking those questions, this is a really big one. Interior design and specifications document. Who does all that? Who documents all that? And the answers, you're going to get a lot of different answers on that one. You might hear an architect say, well, you know, we really don't do that. You'll have to hire your own person, or we do that as a separate service, which is okay. Interior design is not normally under the umbrella of an architectural service. Sometimes they do have their own designers on staff, but just be prepared for potential additional costs. And like I've said before in other episodes, do not undervalue interior design. This is a very, very important part of a project. And don't just push it off to the side and wait for that later when you're under construction. And then the documentation of those specifications is crucial, because you will need to be able to hand a builder, here's my plans, here's all my specifications and materials I want, please provide me a proposal. The other one to bring up is the consultant coordination. We've talked about this earlier, but does your fixed fee include bringing in the consultants? Does it include the cost of the consultants? Probably not. It shouldn't, because they don't know how much that's going to cost yet. But does it include the cost of you orchestrating that, coordinating all of that? That's another big one. What about permit processing? Does that include you going to the building department to file an application for the building permit? That's another big one. And then the last one is construction administration, like we talked about earlier. Do you oversee the construction in your fees? If not, how much does that cost? Then you can make a choice on whether you think you need that or not. For a more complex custom home project, I would recommend it. Even if it's just, you know, a smaller set of services they provide, you know, beginning, middle, and end or something, you know, during construction, for them to take a look at the building and make sure that everything's getting built. So these are the key questions and things that you're going to want to know and ask about fixed fee contracts. So how do you protect yourself from this? You can ask questions like how many schematic design concepts are included, how many revision rounds. You can ask questions related to these things that will help, you know, basically engage with the designer and open up that dialogue so that you as a homeowner, if you don't know, if you didn't know you need, here we go again with that. If you didn't know what you needed to know and didn't ask these questions, you're going to get way down the line and say, well, are you going to tell me all the materials I'm going to be using on my project? And they say, well, that's not included. And you say, well, okay. Meanwhile, it's too late and you want to start to break ground next month. And you don't have anything picked out. So this is the goal here, is just to bring that to your attention so that you can ask the right questions. And in this case, we're talking about fixed fee agreements. Of course, all this stuff you need, no matter what agreement you do, you still need this stuff. But when you go into fixed fee, that's what we want to talk about. So fixed fee agreements provide price certainty by quoting a set amount for each design phase, right? Work best for first-time homeowners and smaller projects, probably, with clear scope, but require explicit boundaries when it comes to revisions, included services, and what triggers extra fees. Always get the scope of services in writing. So that's fixed fee, predictable pricing with clear boundaries. Our final agreement method is percentage of construction costs. And this one is often misunderstood. Let's clear up the confusion on that. Okay. The final agreement method, percentage of construction costs. And I already know what you're thinking because homeowners ask me this all the time. Wait, so if my Italian tile costs more than standard tile, my architect makes more money? That doesn't seem fair. I hear you. And, you know, honestly, on the surface, it does seem a little suspicious, but here's what that reaction misses. Percentage-based fees aren't about the cost of your materials. They're about the time and expertise required to specify, detail, and integrate those materials properly. So let me explain how this method actually works and why, for certain projects, it's the most fair and comprehensive approach. Then we'll finish up with a simple decision framework so you know exactly which method to choose. So the mechanics of a percentage of construction fee structure works on the percentage of the total construction budget. And this is including all of the labor, the materials, the equipment, the subcontractors, your general contractor fees, everything. Your architect would calculate a fee based on that. And, you know, it can range anywhere from roughly 7 to 12% of the construction costs. The percentage is usually determined by the complexity of the project, the customization of the project, the services that you're going to require. For example, if you said, yes, I do want to have construction administration, I do want to have you do all the permitting process, this is defined ahead of time so that the percentage can be determined to calculate the fee. And then there's payments at different milestones. And it does often include construction administration because usually the type of clientele that use percentage of construction method are welcome to have the architect see the construction all the way through because they just don't want to be nuisanced with that and don't have enough knowledge to be able to supervise their home builder to make sure that it is being built to the plans. So let's say your construction budget is $500,000 at 10%. Your architect's fees would be $50,000 for that set of plans. And the construction administration, it probably will not include the consultants. That's usually on top of that percentage that were required. And they will have a percentage on top of that to be able to manage all that. I know it sounds like a lot of money and you're paying, you know, if you're doing a, you know, $2 million home, it's possible you'll pay $200,000 for a set of plans and specifications. Usually the higher the value of the project goes, the less the percentage comes down a little bit. It depends on the project. There are some benefits to this, so hang on for the ride here. You know, let's go back and talk about this whole material thing and why people think it's unusual that they would pay more money for. Maybe it's an exotic material or maybe it's a complex system. Like, for example, if you want to have a 40-foot long by 10-foot tall glass wall system on your home so that you can open it all up and see out into the view that you have over the valley. You know, determining that product, engineering that product, incorporating that into the plans of the project and the specifications, working with the suppliers, working with the structural engineer. These are all components that have to happen in order to make sure that whatever is being specified actually works, as opposed to, let's put three windows there and move on. So the fact that, you know, the three window option is $10,000 and the 40-foot wall option is $200,000, the architect's going to spend a hell of a lot more time on the 40-foot glass wall than they are in the three individual windows, and therefore they should get paid for it. So that's an example of why construction costs can matter and work, frankly, in determining the architectural fees. The tile one is another example where if, you know, you have a standard 12 by 12 tile and one's $5 a square foot and one's $50 a square foot, there's a pretty good chance that the $5 one is from Home Depot and you can run down and get it. And the $50 one requires the product research to make sure that is adequate for the project and stable enough and available enough. It's going to require interfacing with a particular tile contractor that's qualified to install that material. It's just a hypothetical example, but it's not as rock solid as like the glass wall thing I was telling you about. These are just two contrasting examples why elements of a project, materials, equipment, design solutions, should drive the cost of the architect's fees. Let's say you wanted a 20-foot tall coffered ceiling with box beams and crown molding all inside the openings, and you wanted to suspend this, you know, $50,000 chandelier from the middle of it, and that requires design work to make sure it's centered and that it is supported by the structure above it so it doesn't fall down. these are just another examples, as opposed to, you know, a 10-foot high ceiling with crown around the perimeter and a $5 fixture stuck in the middle. So hopefully you're getting what I'm talking about. So this is just, again, a couple examples of why this can work for you, because the alternative is if you are working with your architect and you're on an hourly agreement or even a fixed price agreement, but let's just talk about hourly, and you see your floor plan and you say, okay, now I really want to have a 40-foot wall of glass and a 10-foot tall, and I want a 20-foot ceiling in my entry, and I want to put a basement in. Well, they're going to charge you their hourly fee to figure all that out. So in some respects, it's safer to do a contract with your designer based on the percentage of construction than this open door of just hourly. It's possible you'll spend more money doing the hourly than the percentage of construction costs. So kind of with that myth busted a little bit, who is the method actually designed for? You'll see a percentage of construction costs a lot in high-end innovative design projects, not cookie cutter projects. Clientele, homeowners that have limited time to micromanage all the details, that prefer a set of comprehensive design services from a group that they can depend on, that they don't have to get too involved in. It's usually large projects, new custom homes, major remodels, teardowns. And they just kind of want one professional managing everything from the very early discovery stage to the design steps we've talked about to the construction administration, coordinating all the consultants. There's some process here that you should consider for the percentage of construction fee structure with an architect. And one of the things you can do early on is declare your budget for the project. So if you go to an architect, you've done your homework, you've met with them, you've talked about your scope and everything. Between the two of you, you guys can come up with a budget for the project. It sounds so simple. If you listen to some of the past episodes, it's a little bit more involved in that. But let's say you come up with a budget of $1 million for your new custom home project. Now you can get a sense of what your design fees are going to be. And then your architect has a sense of how much you want to invest in the project. They understand what their fees are going to look like. And then those stepping stones that we talked about and those pause points or those budget checkpoints are ways for you to kind of gut check those original budgets that you guys have established. And ultimately, you'll understand what your eventual design fees will be. So if you want to rein things back in, you can. If you understand that because you want the 40-foot glass wall, let's just go ahead and do that. You're paying your architect to figure it all out, and you're paying more to get it built. Makes sense, right? I mean, that's kind of what it's all about. There's a certain amount of accountability built in by the architect, right? But obviously they're not, I mean, the budget is going to be the budget no matter what. But at some point, you're going to look at each other and go, okay, remember, we have $1 million budget here. So let's make sure, let's do a 20-foot glass wall. One of the other advantages of this whole process using percentage of construction for the fees is, you know, there's not a lot of time tracking and there's not a lot of invoice disputes for a project. And it kind of simplifies things a lot for both sides, right? You'll get periodic billing during each stage of the design process. And that is pretty easy to figure out from a percentage standpoint relative to the construction costs. And it kind of really simplifies things for everybody. So keep that in mind too when you start talking with your architect. All right, so that's all the three methods: hourly, fixed fee, and percentage. Now, how do you actually choose? Let me give you a simple framework on that. Choose hourly if you've built and remodeled before, especially if you've done a lot of projects. This is, you know, hourly is not a bad way to go because you're involved, you're experienced, you have a clear vision, a focused direction, you can make decisions efficiently, you value the transparency, and you're willing to be involved and actively manage your project. You know, look at fixed fee if you're new to working with architects and you do have a clear defined scope and you do need some budget certainty. And you have a high trust in your design team. And if it's, even if it's a smaller project, fixed fee is not a bad way to go. Although hourly could work too for smaller projects. And choose percentage of construction fees. If it's a really large, complex project, you want like this full comprehensive design service all the way through to construction. And you're looking for a high-end customized solutions when it comes to the design of the project. And you don't have a ton of time to really micromanage every aspect of it. And again, you just want one professional managing everything. So first time homeowner, kitchen remodel, modest budget, want to know total cost up front, fixed fee. Experienced homeowner, building dream, custom home, high-end finishes, want architect involved through construction, the percentage method really works. All right, so let's wrap up this segment. So percentage of construction cost agreements, typically 7 to 12%, tie architect fees to your project budget, reflect the time required for complex design, not just material costs. And it works best for large-scale projects with high customization and create built-in accountability to budget goals. So use the decision framework to match your situation to the right agreement type and watch for red flags like vague scope and unclear deliverables. You now have the complete guide to design agreements, the framework, the three methods, how to choose, and what to watch for. This is knowledge that can save you thousands of dollars and prevent countless headaches. So let's bring it home. Here's what we covered today. Three ways architects structure their fees: hourly, fixed fee, and percentage of construction cost. Each method is designed for different types of projects and homeowners. The right choice isn't about finding the cheapest option. It's about matching the agreement structure to your experience level, project scope, and priorities. Understanding these methods before you start interviewing architects puts you in the driver's seat of your project. So if you want to dive deeper into this topic, you can grab a copy of the Awaken Homeowner book And in section 2.200, I break down the design agreements with sample tables, consultant coordination examples, and even more detail on what to include in your contract. Or you can head over to theawakenedhomeowner.com, where you'll also find free resources. And really, I'd welcome you to go back to the earlier episodes of the design process, understanding design professionals, and go way back and listen to the Discovery Series episodes about building a solid foundation, because none of this really matters if you don't go into this focused. And I just can't emphasize that enough. So I want to hear from you. You know, what agreement method sounds right for your project? Or if you've already worked with an architect, which method did you use and how did it go? You know, drop a comment on the YouTube, send me a DM on Instagram at The Awakened Homeowner, or email me through the website. Your questions and experience helps me create episodes that serve you better. And if this episode helped you, share it with someone who's about to hire an architect. You might save them from a costly mistake. So the next episode, we're continuing the World of Design series with a deeper dive into design limitations. All those city and county regulations that might prevent you from building what you want on your own property. You don't want to miss this one. So remember, you don't need to be a construction expert to have a successful project. You just need to be an informed home. I'm Bill Reed, your home building coach, and I'll see you in the next episode. Now get out of here and make those informed decisions. Thanks for tuning into The Awakened Homeowner. Remember, you've got the power to take control of your project from day one. If you're ready to dive deeper, grab The Awakened Homeowner book on Amazon. It's your roadmap to success. Join our community at theawakenedhomeowner.com. And download our free story, The Tale of Two Homeowners. And here's something exciting. I'm developing an app called BuildQuest that's going to revolutionize how you plan and manage your project. Visit buildquest.co to become a founding member and test drive the app when it launches. Follow us on social media and hit that subscribe button. All the links are in the show notes and bio. Got questions? I'd love to hear from you. This is Bill Reed. You got this.